Happy to be joined now, NHL Insider, brought to you by McAlpine Ford Lincoln in Aurora. Doug McLean, NHL analyst on Sportsnet. Doug, that was a pretty good Leafs-Jets game last night. Auston Matthews, Patrick Laine living up to the hype.
Yeah, it sure was. I mean, it's kind of exciting to have a matchup like that. You're looking at the standings, number one. You're looking at the matchup between those two. You're looking at lots of goals, some animosity, some rivalry there. So a must-win and points for both teams. So had the makings of a real good game, and it turned out that way.
Yeah, it certainly did, Doug. In the last couple of days, including yesterday during all the pre-games and all that kind of stuff, a lot of talk of this is Crosby Ovechkin 2. Are you buying that between these two players?
Well, I don't think anything else is compared to it, really. I mean, there's not been a pure scorer come down the pipe as Laine. There's no doubt about that. I mean, the closest, and that's Ovi from 10 years ago. So I think it's pretty special. I mean, he's got 30 goals already. I chuckled when he said his goal was to get one. What was his expectation? So, he's similar. I mean, Matthews isn't like Crosby. He doesn't play the same way as Crosby, but he's certainly going to be a franchise player. So, the two of them will battle for a long time, and both of them are going to be exceptional.
It's just especially nice to, Gord Stellick mentioned it when we had him on earlier, Doug. Just the fact that there's, like, legit star players on Canadian teams in Matthews, Laine, Goudreau in Calgary. We've got more of them now, whereas before, you kind of had just the Sedin twins in Vancouver, and that's kind of really been it for the last number of years.
Well, it's funny how it worked out. I mean, we were scrambling to see any Canadian teams make the playoffs, and of the year to be bad. And you just don't know. I mean, you take a look at this year's draft to be bad this year, and you're looking at the draft, you're saying, I may not even get a very good NHL regular at the high end of the draft, let alone a superstar. So it's year to year. I mean, you can go from a Malkin. You think back to the Ovechkin-Malkin draft, and you say, okay, Ovechkin-Malkin 1-2 and Cam Barker number 3 overall. I mean, it can be a dramatic, dramatic drop-off in the draft. So you just don't know from year to year. I mean, the scouts have a feel whether it's going to be a good draft or not, but to get Matthews and Laine in the same draft, and last year's draft was fairly deep. A lot of Canadian teams did well. I mean, you look at Montreal, pick up the young defenseman from Windsor. You've got a good young defenseman in Vancouver from London. I mean, there was some good pickups deeper into the draft. So Canadian teams stocked up last year, and they desperately needed it. You look at Tkachuk in Calgary,
yep.
I mean, where he went. So the Canadian teams were able to restock on one really exceptional draft in a year they desperately were god-awful, most of them.
A lot of storylines yesterday, Doug, in that game, from shoddy goaltending, poor defense, a lot of explosion on the offense. In your opinion, the best Toronto Maple Leaf on the ice was?
Well, it's funny. We kept talking yesterday, the matchup, and I kept bringing up Nylander.
Yes.
The way he's been. I mean, he's been overshadowed dramatically. A lot of talk on whether Babcock really likes him. I don't know how you can't like this guy. I mean, the plays he made last night, he made a couple of amazing plays last night. So he really jumped in. I mean, obviously, you love the shooting of a Laine, but, the play of Nylander was, to me, exceptional. The vision, the plays, the goal he scored coming in late off the side. I thought he was real good. So, that was a really solid performance. And, obviously, Matthews getting 3 assists, and Laine's play was exceptional. So, all around, it was a lot of fun to watch the game. The goaltending has been struggling for Winnipeg all year. I felt for Hellebuyck. He gives up that terrible one to start the game. He bounced back okay and still couldn't find a way to get the win. I mean, they dumb penalties, which has plagued the Jets forever. I mean, they can't get out of their own way for taking bad penalties, this team. And, it costs them dearly. I mean, and they were outplayed for me, for the most part.
Doug McLean, our guest here on Sportsnet today, NHL Insider, brought to you by McAlpine Ford Lincoln in Aurora. I had discussions with a number of people last night. They keep asking the question, like, how do they leave Laine open? Like, how do they How do you just forget to mark Patrick Laine? And you know, that's kind of what makes him so special, right, Doug? Because he's like Ovechkin. He's like Stamkos. They find that little bit of space, and they only need that little bit of space to make the most of an opportunity.
Well, when you have a release that is that quick, it's hard. I mean, he doesn't need any space when he gets that puck to have it, you know, to have it off his stick, and that the quickness of his release, and the speed. I mean, he's a tough guy to cover. I mean, there's very few of them like that. I mean, Ovi gets away from the traffic especially on the power play, and if you cover him, you're leaving other people so wide open, so you depend on your goaltender and block shots with him, and it doesn't work very well. Brett Hull was the other guy that used to be able to find those holes, and a guy like Oates could find him with special passes, but there's not many guys that can find space in the slot like he did on those two. And then you've got to think about the guy that's finding them is Scheifele, with the way he can pass the puck. I mean, he's one of the best young centermen. It may be, to me, the best young centerman in the game. Looks like he's ready to take over from the Getzlaff and the Kopitar and is the next young great centerman. So, he finds them with some great plays too. So it's a combination. They're going to be lethal. Those two as a 1-2 punch should get Winnipeg in the playoffs very soon.
You'd think so anyway. Speaking of special passes, I want to get your opinion on the Austin Matthews bank pass, or what was said to be a bank pass, because, Doug, I'm not buying it. I think it's BS. I think when they were on the power play and Austin Matthews curls to go towards the net, you got Leo Komarov in front, so obviously anticipating a rebound. He takes the shot. He misses. He gets the bank right to Nylander, and then afterwards he talks about how this was a play that they worked on. Are you buying that or not?
No.
Thank you.
I hope they did, but I mean, I guess they're hockey geniuses, but I don't know.
It seems like a lot if it were to be true. But, hey, I mean, Austin Matthews has done some pretty incredible stuff this year.
Yeah, you don't underestimate. I mean, I still say it. I say it too often, but it's caught me off guard how his production is there. It really has. And both of them, Laine and him, and even Nylander. I mean, I'm caught off guard, and Marner, how good they've actually been. And, you know, they're in, you know, who would have ever believed they'd be where they are today in this race?
Yeah.
I didn't. Anderson's helped that too. Let's not get ourselves.
Yeah. Even though he has struggled a little bit lately, Doug McLean, our guest here on Sportsnet today. What do you think the Leafs do if anything with Riley and Zaitsev? Because it's, you know, they've been on the ice for 8 of the last 10 even strength goals against the Leafs. They were on the ice for all 4 of the Winnipeg goals last night. It's been a bit of a slog for those two. Do you think Babcock should switch it up with them, just give them a different look for the next couple of games? I know the Connor Carrick injury may throw a wrench into those plans anyways.
You know what? I don't think there's a whole lot you can do. They're playing in the 1-2 spot, and they probably should be in the 2-3 spot. They're 3-4 spot. That's, you know, to me, Morgan Riley is going to become a real good, solid number two guy. Zaitsev, to me, is going to be a real good 2-3 guy. They need a big guy back there. And so, to me, they're at Morgan Riley's age, at Zaitsev's experience, they're playing too high, and they've got no choice. So I don't think there's much you can do about it, except eventually they'll end up getting the right number one guy, and that they desperately covet. And, you know, then that'll change that. But right now, for me, they're probably just simply playing a little bit too high in the lineup. And they're both really good players, but it just takes time.
Doug, we're about...
I don't think there's a lot they can do about it.
Doug, we're about... Sorry about that. We're about a week away from trade deadline. In the Atlantic Division itself, what are the two top teams that are going to be the busiest in the next 7 days?
Two top teams in the Atlantic?
Yeah. The Maple Leafs division
I think Montreal will be the busiest. I think they're desperately going to try to do something. Does Boston surprise somebody and take a run at a Shattenkirk?
Mm.
I mean, you know, that you know, he would probably go there and sign. Obviously he'd like to go to New York, but Shattenkirk seems to be the guy that's out there. Is that a big enough? Can Boston pull that together and fix that blue line of theirs? he would be a certainly nice addition there. So I think Montreal will be. I think Toronto is going to take a run at Boyle. I think they'd really like to get Boyle out of Tampa. I know Edmonton's after him. There's a couple teams after him. I mean, there's quite a few teams after him, to be quite honest. Boyle's a guy that people would really, really like to have at this deadline. But then Tampa win last night, which puts them only four out, and they're back in the race, to be quite honest. They've got points in their last seven games. I mean, they're back in at Tampa Bay right now. So, you know, if they can beat Calgary here in the next day, and, you know, they could be right back in this race. So I don't know what they'll do, but I could see Boyle being a real hot commodity.
You wonder if, you know, Carolina, they've really dropped out of the race. Detroit, those are the really the only two teams in the Eastern Conference that you could maybe see selling. And for the Red Wings, I mean, it's just, it's weird seeing them be sellers going into the deadline, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And then they've got a big decision to make on Brendan Smith. I mean, do they move him to, you know, maybe Toronto looking for a depth defenseman? I mean, there's a history of Babcock and Smith. There's a history of Babcock and Quincy in Jersey. There'll be sellers. You know, that could be something. You've got, you know, you've got some of those, you know, forwards, Vanek and some of these guys at Detroit will move. I mean, Carolina have got a Hainsey. They'll move as a defenseman. So all of a sudden, it's going to open up a little bit here. Burroughs, as I said, out of Vancouver would be available. So, that, you know, it's going to open up here each day with a team losing. You know, we'll have some action on Wednesday for sure. I don't know how exciting it's going to be, but we'll have some.
Well, you're going to have to talk about something there, Doug.
Well, we only have 8 or 10 hours.
That's true.
A lot of stories. I'm on with Ryan Whitney and Colby Armstrong, so I think I won't have problems coming up with things to talk about with those two characters.
Yeah, Colby, he'll break out the story chest for you, probably.
They're really good at talking about themselves. When you ask them about other teams, they have trouble.
we've seen that with Colby whenever he does his hits on the station.
You've seen it with Colby and Whitney and me, so it's a bad trio.
Thanks for this today, Doug. Appreciate it.
Take care. Good luck, guys. Thanks for having me on.